Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. How are we doing today? It's Blog Talk Radio. The show today is Racism on the Job. Long day. How are we doing today? 903?
Oh, this is me. I'm all right. It's Woken.
Oh, yeah, Woken Up is on here. All right, all righty. All right, and then I know Janae, she's on her way just to call in, so hold on.
Sound like tired, man.
Yeah, man, are you doing all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, all right, well, here, let's just go ahead and just get it started. All right, Racism on the Job, Woken Up, man. What is your initial thoughts, like, whenever you hear that?
My initial thought, I guess I would say, is us who are painted as the minorities in society being mistreated on the jobs due to who's in the more powerful position, and, you know, who owns the company.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Well, so pretty much how I'm going to take this is like this. Hey, Janae, what's going on?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Oh yeah. We live in the dream, hoping to wake up over here. It's the American nightmare. All right. So, racism on the job. You know, I just got like, you know, the thing that drove me to, you know, for this show today is, we are going through so much change and so much everything on this journey. You know, us being African Americans just on a job, is seems like they don't want us on the job. So what they do is they just do racist stuff, and what we have to swallow. We have to swallow a lot of pride. You know, swallow everything, so therefore we can put food on the table for our families. You know, regardless if you have kids or not, or a partner or not, you know, you still trying to provide for your family. You know, and I just, number one, I just want to say hats off to everybody who has been on a job, went through some form of racism, and you still provide food for your family. So this show here is going to actually touch on our survival tactics, because you have to understand the type of racism that we're actually going through. You know, it's very institutionalized, and what we do have is we have the house Negro, you know, is always there. They always promote a black person way up there, okay, where he's going to make sure no other black person go higher than him, okay. Then after that, he's going to start tallying on you. Say, hey, boss, so-and-so is doing this, or hey, boss, you know, Woken Up is doing this, or hey, boss, you know, hey, Janae is doing this, or Brian is doing this, you know. So that's one form of racism that we have to look out for. The second one is just our freedom of expression. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm very impulsive, you know, very, very impulsive. So if I see, unfairness occur, I'm going to be the first person who's going to say something about it, and we get penalized for that, you know. Or what happens is, you might build up the whole department. You know, you might train everybody, and after that, they promote a person that's less qualified, but just because their skin color is different, you know, they put them over you. You know, or let's say, you know, they pass laws about how African Americans, we can't wear dreads. And dreads and dreadlocks and things like that, you know. So things like that, that racism that occurs in the workplace. And, you know, what most people going to tell you, is like, hey, man, just be quiet or go along and get along. You know, like, oh, what is our avenues? Like, what can we do? Besides, okay, if we speak up, we're probably going to get fired because most states are an at-will state. You know, they can fire you for anything. You know, so what can we do? You know, so well, one of y'all, I just want to woken up, first and foremost, woken up, have you had any type of racism on the job before? Can you share any stories? And, like, what did you do to overcome that?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I was on a job one time, my last one, before the one I'm on now.
And what happened?
I was working next to a guy, to a Caucasian who didn't like black people. They put me next to him on purpose. And, you know, I was humble and stuff, you know, and I was actually still asleep, to be honest. But I was humble and I was trying to treat him with respect, keep him from, you know, coming at me with any of his, you know, racial feelings or whatever. So one day he got a little pissed off. Yeah, one day he got pissed off on a job about having to do his job with the idea that I said, just come on, let's do it. It's our job. We can't complain about it. Long story short, he ended up bumping me in the shoulder. And my initial thought was, yeah, you know, you walk past somebody, and, you know, they bump you, and, you know, normally you're supposed to generally apologize, but no apology came. So my initial thought was to, you know, mess them up, but I didn't. You know, instead I tried to do the right thing, which was take it up to the leader, to the supervisor, and then the supervisor went and talked to him. And they're both the same color. And then, they, you know, the supervisor comes back to me, and the supervisor's sending me home.
Surprise, surprise, you got the short end of the stick, you know.
And
that's
so,
outright racism right there in the workplace. That's outright.
It's crazy. But it does happen. Now, yeah.
I mean, what's your experience with, like, with micro-racism? You know, just people saying certain things. They know it's, like, kind of racist or whatever, but they think they can let it slide. Have you had a lot of experiences like that? Like a comment, like, about your hair, or a comment, like, about, like, family or black people in general. That's, like, it's offensive, but they try to make it seem like it's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I cut off 6.5 years of growing my dreadlocks. My locks was actually in the center of my back. And I cut them off because of discrimination.
I mean, like, on the job, you know, I know, like, I've been told, like, well, you're attractive, like, for a darker woman, so, and I think you're well-spoken. You know, the well-spoken thing is, you know what that means. They insinuate that since you're black that you don't know how to speak properly, basically. And so, you know, the whole pretty for a dark-skinned person or darker person, you're well-spoken. You look nice, you know, like, we don't know how to look neat on the job, you know, like, just throwing a little shade like that, you know, that micro-racism type thing.
So Janae, so, like on your past jobs, have you been through, like, just, like, extreme racism, you know, like, because you know how, like, you know, like, with your hair or, by the way, you know, you just talk or anything like that?
Yeah, I've been discriminated against in both ways. About the way I speak, that was too proper, you know, for both races, actually. The way I dressed, that was too proper for both races. The way I wore my hair, that affected the Caucasians the most. When I was wearing twist outs and decided to do twist outs a lot and put a little color in it, still professional, you know, and I knew that it was going to go the wrong way. I knew it as soon as I walked in and they said, oh, your hair, I like it, you know, like kind of like that type of tone. And I said, okay,
yeah, right.
I'm going to start getting treated a lot differently because of it. And I did, you know, with every complaint that I had, it wasn't satisfied. You know, their behavior was completely different. They treated me as if I wasn't as competent. When I decided, you know, to let my hair, you know, just hang with a twist out, you know. Although they say it looked nice, there it was still like that's a no-no. You know, it's like a taboo, like, no, I wish you hadn't have done that.
Oh, really?
You know?
Okay. So,
yeah.
So
like you have to present yourself a certain way in order to raise up in the ranks in the workplace, it seems, before you can be yourself, you know, or self physically the way you want to. Basically, like, you know, like the whole Black Becky thing, you know, like doing that, you know, just to get by, you know, just enough time to climb the ladder, you know, and get by and stuff like that. Get yourself settled, and then you can wear your hair natural. You know, unless you walk in there and they accept that right off the bat, that's different. But if they don't, where I was working, you had to work yourself up to that rank to where you could wear your hair naturally. And even if you did, you got treated less competent than you were before.
Okay, so may I ask, like, what happened to you at that particular position after you wore that, let's say, that hairstyle?
They started talking about my clothes, you know, like just throwing shade, like, okay, maybe you want to change your clothes now that you're going to have your hair that way now. You know, like trying to instruct me basically on how to dress and how to be accepted in the Caucasian work environment now that my hair was different. You know, like they actually, you know, tried to instruct me as to what to do or how they wanted me to, the rest of me to look like. Since, you know, my hair was like that, I didn't get any, you know, the respect went down the tubes. I was getting sexually harassed by another female who was white, you know, and then the supervisor, she was white, so I would go to her and she wouldn't help me. So any help that I wanted or needed, I couldn't get. But when I would naturally, you know, just use like naturally or natural straightening techniques or whatever, then I found that they would help me out a lot more.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So therefore,
so, yeah.
If you carried a European look, you would be,
or as close to European
as,
you know, yeah. And that's how they treated me. You know, as long as my hair was at least kind of straight, you know, like they would cater to me a lot better. But when it was like straight up, you know, kinky, it was a no-no.
Yes,
you know,
gotcha.
And they won't say that because that's illegal. They didn't say that, but it was all implied. It was all, you know, very, very just a negative, you know, they tried to create a hostile work environment to kind of force you out, basically. So that's what happened after I start wearing my natural hair. Well, my hair is already natural, but when I decided to have more volume to it, they created a more hostile environment to try to push me out.
And I guess they end up firing you, correct, or pushing you out?
Well, they were waiting for blood to be in the water. You know, they were circling like sharks. So I ended up getting into a car accident, and that's how I got canned. They used that as an excuse. You know, like my work was perfect. Everything was perfect. They just couldn't stand, you know, my hair being a twist out. So they were circling me, and as soon as they smelled blood in the water from my car accident, they were like, okay, good. Now we got an excuse. And that's how I got terminated.
Okay. That's very unfortunate. So, woken up, have you ever been terminated from a job?
I'm sorry, say again?
Have you ever been terminated from a job before, or?
Yeah.
Have you ever been fired?
I mean, yeah, I have.
Yeah, and do you think
have you been fired
to...
because it was because you were black?
Well,
go ahead and speak on it, Firecracker.
No. That one I did. It was that last one. I know they were discriminating on me. They didn't want to give me the raise that I was supposed to have. You know, things like that. And then they like kind of like how you mentioned. They put me next to dude to create a hostile environment on the job to get you to, you know, while out and so they can push you out the door. And
right.
That's exactly what happened. You're like, you know, I turned up on the supervisor.
I'm not gonna lie.
Y'all got
some easy stories, man. Like me, boy, man. I was like, boy, we don't have enough time in this show for me to share all mine. But, all right, so. This is my take, all right? So how do we defeat this, okay? Because you understand that we are being oppressed. This will
mm-hmm.
continue, all right? And we'll always have our own at the job to fend against because we're crabs in a barrel. I've never been on a job. I don't know if y'all can speak about it. If you had another African-American on a job, they actually helped you out without trying to push you down. We're trying to show you, like, hey, this one is the wrong one. Please promote me, you know. Hey, master, I'm a good one, boss. You know, that type of
right.
stuff. So the, you know, so what we need to do is we need to look at another direction. Because bottom line, they don't want us there. And most of us, we're not even supposed to even be working for them, you know.
Right.
If it wasn't for after Reconstruction, they just bombed us, you know, and tried to keep us disenfranchised and all that good stuff. And then integration, because really integration is the reason why we don't have our own. So my deal is...
See, that's the reason how come I keep saying we need to have our own businesses so we don't even have to put up with this. Because you can't change their policies in their own companies. You know, I was talking about how this lady got discriminated against for wearing her dashiki and things like that and appearing to be more African-American than she should on the job. So she read through the manual and everything and through their policies, and she decided to express herself anyway, and she just dressed in cosplay, you know, for a while, you know, to prove her point, you know. And the policy was basically changed to target her, you know, so... I feel like there's nothing that we can do about it, you know, when it's their companies, it's their policies, it's legal for them to change it, you know, even if it is targeting, they'll put it in there and word it a certain way, and you know it's meant for us to basically, you know, shut up and be white. So I think my solution for that would be for us to, you know, just to support more black businesses, get employed, you know, employ each other, you know, whether we already have one or not.
Hold on real quick. 314.
Go ahead.
We have a call coming in, 314.
Yeah, I want to make a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not gonna start off and say y'all should just be grateful you got a job. No, I'm just kidding. But what I was hearing is that what you said in the end is what should you be striving for? Your
mm-hmm.
own business competing against them. And yeah, you know all these things are going on. And when you're on these jobs, you're there for two things, I would say. One, you're there, of course, to make a living. Another, you're there spying. Seeing how they run their operation. Get as much details as you possibly can. Who are they networked? Who are their customers? Especially if their customers are public institutions. Learn what they're doing. That is, if you like that. And if you really want to get back, compete against them and what they are doing. That's the most simplest thing that I can, you know, respond to.
So,
I've done that in my life.
I completely agree with you on that point. I completely agree.
Daryl, is that you? 314.
No, this is Tempe.
Tim. Hey, Tim, so here, let me ask you, okay, have you been through any racism on the job at all? Or
no, because
I
own the company.
See,
what I've done, I was in commercial construction. I erected structural steel buildings like the ones that fell down in New York during 9/11. I started doing that when I was 19. And after 25 years of working and also running jobs, you know, as the general foreman on jobs, well, I was getting paid general foreman pay, even though I was not doing the work. I worked for a peculiar type of white person who, I guess you could say, didn't handle racism in their bone, because they did. As soon as I came out of apprentice school, they put me in the running work, and I was probably the only black on the company for sure, and it was that way for a long time. I tried to buy the business from him. He didn't sell it. He said to me, why don't you start your own, which I did, and, you know, a lot of jobs we worked with, I hired his people, which is my I came up with, and I've done jobs using him. But here's the thing. I competed against him and also competed against his competitors, and many times won out. In other words, they had a pie. There was a pie there, and every contractor that was in that business had a slice of the pie. Well, if I wanted to establish my pie, guess what? I couldn't make the pie bigger. I had to take pieces of their pie in order to establish my pie.
Right.
And that's exactly what I've done. So when we start competing against them, providing the services that our community, that's one thing that blacks have. Blacks say they don't come together, but damn it, you are together. Look at Georgia. Look at Mississippi. 18 counties in Mississippi on the west side of the river is over 70% black or more. 18 cities in this country, that's 90% plus. Those are economic markets. You should control them. Arabs, Mideasterners should not be in Baton Rouge taking over the used car a lot. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be controlling your gas stations, your convenience markets.
Right.
They shouldn't be. And once they start there, guess what? They're going to start getting into other things.
Right.
I completely agree. But on the other standpoint, let me ask you this, Tim. So
this
what
is Tianqi.
Tianqi. Okay. So let me ask you this. Okay. So with the Community Reinvestment Act, our government says, hey, we have to give you so many loans.
That's with the banks. Blacks do have organizations called the Minority Business Council. It's at the national level, and you probably should have, or you do have at the local level, that provide loan guarantees up to 75% of your loan amount on the projects that you work on. I mean, in my case, now, I don't know about whatever type of category of business that you're in. So that helps out a whole lot. There
say
is
that one
entities.
More time for everybody. Everybody listening, say that one more
That's
time.
That's the Minority Business Council. They, you have a national that comes out of New York. You have a local that's in your cities probably. And what it is that you have black businesses and other businesses that pay dues, and those dues go to establish a monetary base, whereas they would guarantee your bank loan with a member bank for up to 75% of your loan. Bank of America is a member. Many of your banks are a member. If you're working on a project for a company, say Anheuser-Busch or say Monsanto or say the public schools, well, the public schools are members of the National Business Council, and they pay dues to the National Business Council. So you can see how this all works. If you're working on one of their jobs, then that opportunity kicks in and applies.
See, that's what I'm talking about, and
that's really
that
good information.
That's right. That's
Blacks
right.
should be doing more business. I mean, and here's another thing: you have to do out of the box businesses. In other words, you got to get to the point where you are manufacturing, producing what it is that you're selling. You cannot be buying wholesale from Asians because they're not going to give you family prices. These people are not crazy. Your manufacturing production can go on the African country where you have trade agreements like AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which permits you to bring manufactured goods back into the United States without paying a tariff on them. You're a U.S. citizen. Others use that too. Koreans use it. They take advantage of the things that were put there to help blacks to, you know, make up ground. That's what reparations should be about, giving you advantages to make up economic ground, economic territory.
Oh. Woo, boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if you manufacture, something in Ghana, West Africa, and you pre-manufacture it there, finish manufacturing it here, where the government, in many cases, and I had never tried this, but I heard about it, they will subsidize you because you are hiring Americans. Another thing, your affirmative action should be used to take your manufactured goods and products and tell Walmart, tell Target, tell Kmart, if they still exist, Walgreens, look, I want 15% of your shelf space for my goods, my products to be displayed. That's affirmative action, another form.
Mm.
So, hell, you don't have to work for them. You compete with them and take some of that damn pie and leave the rest for them to have all by their lonesome self. Take the pie from them.
Y'all hear that? Let's take the pie from them. One of the things that I was about to do, you know, which you already segue into, was either business loans or in which which there are programs for African Americans to fund the Reinvestment Act that we can actually get the loan, and it doesn't matter what your credit score is, through the Urban League at your local chapter. Another thing is, okay, tax time is here, right? Most people have dependents, okay? So most people might get a $3,000 to $5,000 tax return. So why don't we just pull that together and go buy the building, or go buy an apartment building, or put a down payment down, and then after that go buy a building, and then everybody moves in, most people move in that building. Those three or four families move into that building, okay, and then rent out the rest of the apartment. You know,
that's a way to do that also. That's the way you produce non-traditional ways of financing. That's a good idea that you do things that way. But I'm going to tell you the thing. You got to have a business plan. You know, you can have a good-ass business plan, ain't got a dime. But when I, who is an investor of whatever nature, when I read your plan, you let me know that you know what you're talking about. I got people that can check and see if you do. But you show on paper that you know what it is that you're talking about. You are showing the ins and outs. If you can't show that on paper where it works, where it becomes logical sense, it's not going to work in real life where things are for real.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, we got about 90 seconds, 2 minutes left in the show here. Let's go to final thoughts. Welcome up. Any final thoughts?
I just learned a lot more than what I thought I knew just listening in today. I think we all need to connect with this gentleman.
Oh, indeed. We will. Janae, do you have any final thoughts?
I especially agree with creating businesses that outside of the box, you know, and things that are useful. Competing, you know, taking a slice of the pie, you know, like our guest said. Also, once we do that, you know, to employ our own, you know, instead of having to deal, you know, with this racism in the workplace and all of this extra, you know, just go ahead, do it with